Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Good evening and welcome to our Sunday PM sermon time. My name is Chad Lamon, and I appreciate you joining us for this message. Good riddance is what some people will say regarding 2020. As you watch this, you're watching from the future, in my perspective. I'm recording this still in 2020, so there's still a few days for a couple of bad things to happen, but people will say that 2020 was the worst year we've ever had, right? They'll say everything that happened in 2020 was bad and terrible. But was it, though? Surely not everything was bad and terrible in 2020. And don't get me wrong, there's still time. There's still a few hours left in 2020 as I record this. But I think that you will agree that not everything in 2020 was bad. I tend to look on the past year as a year of realization, for me personally. A year a lot of decisions were already made for me. And I just needed to realize that. In Matthew 5, Jesus calls us, as Christians, the light of the world. He says that a lamp isn't hidden under a basket, but it's put on a stand where it lights the whole house. And he tells us that we should be like that lamp. We should let our light shine so that others can see God and give the glory to him. The question for you today, I think, that we need to answer is, were you that light in 2020? Were you the encouragement you needed to be in 2020? Were you one of the bright spots in people's lives in 2020? Were you showing them Jesus? Were you treating them like Jesus should? I'm going to confess to you right now. Sometimes at some points in this year, there wasn't too much light in my heart. There wasn't too much light in my heart for some people and some groups of people from last year. I felt disdain and belief, and unbelief rather, in some of the things that I saw people say and do last year. And sometimes that person was me. Sometimes I had to look at myself and think that I was just as guilty as the people that I was angry against. It was hard. Sometimes I was the one guilty or thinking or acting or saying things that I shouldn't say or think. Sometimes my light wasn't bright. And I think maybe you can say the same thing. So when we think about 2020, we may just see darkness. And granted, this year gave us more darkness than it did light. It was one of those years that we might say was a bad year. But because of that, it's all the more important for us to show light in the darkness as well. We need to be the lighthouse that is directing everyone to Jesus. So this evening, I'd like to explore just a few things that were personal realizations for me. And this will be a pretty personal sermon tonight. And look back on the good things that 2020 offered, but also use those to help us move forward into 2021. So as we begin a new year, let's begin by talking about the previous one and what we can learn from it. Number one, 2020 forced me to slow down. And I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about, but I remember the day that it all started. I remember going home on that Thursday or Friday afternoon and seeing that the NCAA tournament had been canceled and seeing that NBA basketball had canceled all their games and that the NHL would not be playing games. And I thought, if they're canceling professional sports, this is going to be really serious. And I think that was the realization for everybody when they started doing that was, this is the real deal. And it was scary. We got to church that Sunday morning and we had a surprise announcement that we would only be in worship that evening and that we would not be attending worship for the foreseeable future. And it was just so quick and so sudden. And I don't know what you did, but it was very, very scary. Most of us were asked to work from home in those coming weeks. Some of us couldn't. Some of us had to go and be out in public and work. For those of us who are retired, we probably retreated to our homes. We shut ourselves up and hoped that it would be over soon. And we realized pretty early on that this was not going to be over very soon. We had no idea how long it would last, though. I was one of the ones that Graymere had called on to get some things done in our video department. The result of what you see here today, the good quality video that we have right now, is because of all that I've learned and that we've learned as a team over the course of the last 9 months. And we've been able to really pick up and do the things that we need to do to keep the congregation in touch with videos and with online things and all those little different technologies. We've been able to do that. I was here in March. I was here in the office working and getting videos done. I would work, 30 hours on one worship video. That was just the worship video by itself. Took almost 30 hours at the beginning to make. And it was very, very difficult. So those first 2 months of the pandemic just flew by for me. But after that, there was a little bit of a respite. I got to rest. When June and July rolled around and I suddenly didn't have 30 or 40 hours worth of video work to do every week, it happened that I got a little bit of a break in a time of year where I normally don't get a break. Remember, we had to cancel VBS just like everybody else did. We had to cancel all sorts of different things. And no matter how you feel about that, that's said and done. And there wasn't a whole lot for me to plan for or to do at that point because we weren't even having Bible classes yet. There weren't any ball games to go to, at least not immediately, because it looked like the pandemic wouldn't end anytime soon. We didn't have Bible classes. We couldn't go to the movies. We couldn't go to the zoo. We couldn't go out to eat. A lot of the things that we used to do, a lot of the things that we took for granted were taken away from us. It was the first time for me in almost 20 years that I had been forced to stop, that I had been forced to slow down. It was the first time for me in 20 years doing that. I remember somewhere recently I read a quote from a book. I believe it was by Adam Mabry. He said, "Rest isn't a reward, it's a right." Meaning that sometimes we think that rest is something that we get as a reward for our hard work. That if I just do these 800 things, then I can finally rest. Well, the problem with that is that there's always something to do, isn't there? There's always something on the to-do list. But you know what? Sometimes that can get done tomorrow or next week. And it took this pandemic to help me figure that out, force me to rest. Sometimes we just have to force ourselves to stop. Sometimes life does it for us. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we have an unexpected job loss or we go on vacation. Sometimes life does it for us. Even Jesus, if you think about it, the most important 3 years of ministry that this earth has ever seen, in those 3 years, even though it was incredibly important, he took the time to rest. And our lives have gotten so cluttered with things that we think that we should do, but we can't figure out what we were meant to do. What were we meant to do? Setting boundaries in our lives is the only way to ensure a healthy physically, mentally, and spiritual life. Jesus himself set boundaries with his time. And the passage I'm about to read from Mark chapter 4 is probably not one that you would think about Jesus resting. You would probably think about him going off and praying, especially in the garden and resting and all those different things. But this is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And it illustrates the point that Jesus, even in the midst of chaos, took time to rest. Jesus himself set boundaries with his time. This is one of my favorite stories, Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, and so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Now, keep in mind, there's a storm happening. Waves are coming into the boat. Jesus is sleeping. It's kind of funny if you think about it. And when they woke him, he said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Right after this, I imagine, and scripture doesn't say that he does this, but I imagine that he just rolled over and went right back to sleep. Here's what's so great to me about this passage. Jesus sees here that there's work to be done. He sees the crowd. He sees the storm. He sees that people need to be healed, that demons need to be cast out, the lessons need to be taught, but he still tells his disciples, "Get in the boat." And once here, he falls asleep. The needs of the people are urgent, yes. Their requests or their cries for healing must have been compelling, but Jesus knows that he needed to stop and rest. If even Jesus needs to stop and rest in the middle of a chaotic world, with all the important things that he has to do as the Savior of mankind, don't you think that we should rest too? I had a friend who once said that you don't burn out doing the right things, you burn out because of what you don't do. We can say no to non-essentials in order to do lots of great things in our lives. We can work all day, work all night doing what God calls us to do, but without adding time to connect with Him and with others regularly, without adding time in there to rest, we are going to burn out, even with the most well-intentioned activities. So, what do we resolve to do maybe in 2021? Well, in 2021, set boundaries with your time. I don't know if that means putting in a calendar appointment to rest. If you need to put it on your to-do list to get it done to rest, then make it happen. But set boundaries with your time. We were not meant to go crazy busy from one activity to the other, always stressed out and always 5 minutes late. We were meant to, as Christians, to live lives in full abundance, not losing perspective on what really matters most. Speaking of which, number two this evening, 2020 showed us that. It showed us what matters most. Hopefully most of us were able to do and see what we took for granted in 2020. And hopefully we're going to make sure that that never happens again in 2021. What did we take for granted? Well, I think it's simple human interaction is what we took for granted. Seeing our families regularly, eating in a restaurant, sitting in a coffee shop, going to worship without a mask, hugging somebody at worship, giving handshakes at worship. I miss handshakes. I don't know about you. I miss handshakes. I'm a handshake kind of guy. Sometimes you don't know what you've lost until it's gone. Right? I had a hilarious interaction with Andrew while he was in COVID quarantine in his home. And I hope he won't mind me telling this story. But when Catherine had COVID and she got sick, he had to obviously quarantine and stay at home with his boys. And you can get quite cooped up when you have, especially have small children. Some of you might like the idea of getting cooped up in your home for months on end, but when you have small children, it's a different story. And so I tried to do everything I could. I tried to ask him, "How many times, do you need anything? Do you need anything?" I think I brought the boys some video games and brought him his computer from the church building. And I had been asking him every day, "Hey, do you need anything? Do you need anything? Can I do something for you?" And he said, actually, he says, today, and Andrew's never one to ask for anything, but he said, "Actually, you could do me a favor today." And I'm ready to pounce. I'm like, "What is it?" And he goes, "Could you bring me a Mountain Dew?" And if you know Andrew, then you know that he is a Cherry Coke guy. Like, he's, most of the time, he's Cherry Coke. He loves Cherry Coke. And I said, man, I thought you were a Cherry Coke guy. And he goes, you know what? I am, and I've got Cherry Coke here at the house. But it's the simple fact that I want a Mountain Dew because I can't have one. I can't go get one right now, and that's the reason why I want it. And I thought that was so funny. But it just goes to prove the point that sometimes we don't know what we've lost until it's gone. Sometimes that freedom to just go get a Mountain Dew or even have one at all is something that we don't know that we've lost until it's gone. The ball games and the school functions wasn't what mattered. Going to the zoo, going out to eat, that didn't matter. It was the personal interactions. It was the fellowship at worship. It was the family get-togethers. It was the seeing the grandkids that mattered. And suddenly we weren't able to do that. And we found out that is what really matters. Most of them, some of those still aren't happening. Some of you got to get together at Christmas, some of you didn't. As Jesus' beloved disciple, John, grew older, his teaching became increasingly narrowed, and that's not a bad thing. He just became very zero-focused on one entirely singular topic, and that was the love of God in his three letters, his 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. In the book, Knowing the Truth of God's Love, Peter Kreeft cites an old legend, and again, this isn't scripture, but he cites an old legend in which one of John's young disciples came to him and complaining, saying, why don't you talk about anything else? All you talk about is the love of God. You know how John replied? He said, because there isn't anything else. In 2021, I think we need to focus on what matters most. Remember the times that we were forced to sweep away all the extraneous activities. Get rid of all the things that make us busy. And the highlight of our day was a video call with the grandkids. Let's remember that. Let's remember how precious some of those moments were. And let's remember how precious some of those moments are going to be when we get them back. At some point, this virus will be under control. We will be vaccinated. We'll be living our lives, hopefully, normally again. John the Apostle certainly had this perspective. And if we centered our lives around loving God and loving others first, then there wouldn't be arguments or busyness or letting things that didn't matter get in the way of the things that do. In the third place this evening, 2020 showed us that nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever. 2020 is officially in the rearview mirror. When you're watching this, of course, you're watching it in 2021. I'm recording it right at the end of the year, in December of 2020. The calendar has changed for you. And while we're still dealing with all the same stuff that we were dealing with a week ago, progress is being made. If it's one thing I've learned over the years, and especially the last year, is that nothing lasts forever. Oh, it feels like it does. This virus has turned the world upside down. It's forced us to think in new ways. It's forced us to think in new ways of communication and in our work and in our worship. I'd like to think that this experience has forced us into some good habits this year, and I know it has for me, but this virus will not last forever. Cases, as we record this, are at an all-time high. They're even higher than they were at the beginning of the pandemic. We have members of our church family right now who we are worried about and who are getting sick from it. But medical science has given us hope. And we've learned ways to adapt. We've learned ways to limit our exposure and still live our lives in a limited way. We've been extremely blessed to be able to worship online for the past several months, despite many other churches and many other places not having the same luxury. And this virus seems like it's lasting forever. 2020 seems like it's lasting forever. And you may have joked that 2020 is the longest year that we've ever had. And I wouldn't disagree with that. But it won't last forever. It just seems that way because we are in it right now. This past Sunday, Jonathan and I talked about heaven and hell from the pulpit. And after studying heaven a great deal last week, it really stuck with me. Nothing on this earth will last forever, but do you know what will? Eternity. Heaven is going to last forever. 2020 is not going to last forever. It didn't last forever, and neither will 2021. The virus won't last forever. Your heartache or your disappointment or your depression won't last forever. Heaven will. And there, you can have rest and reunion. John describes it for us here. As we close this evening, John describes it for us here in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. He says, "And I saw the holy city." Just imagine this picture for me. "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Think about that. No more crying. No more pain. No more depression. No more disagreement. No more distrust. That's the forever that Christians are having to look forward to. Are you looking forward to heaven this evening? In 2021, we should fix our eyes on eternity and on heaven. I don't know what kind of 2020 that you had, but there's always an opportunity for 2021 to be better than last year. And a new year is just a great time to be thinking about what we have done and where we are going. It's a great time to turn the page. It's a great time to move forward. And after all, a rolling stone doesn't gather any moss, does it? Running water can never stagnate. If you're always moving forward, if you're always looking to Jesus and what you can do to get to heaven and take others with you, then it's going to be awfully hard for the devil to catch you. God bless you all. Have a great week and a great 2021.